This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik De Geer.
Today I'm speaking with Andrew Warshaver. Andrew, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Henrik.
Andrew, who are you and what do you do?
So right now, I spend most of my day on an algorithmic high-frequency trading business, trading exclusively cryptocurrencies. Just a little bit background-wise, I've been studying algorithm design for about the last 15 years. Early in my career, I worked in high-frequency trading on Wall Street. And then around 2015, I learned about Bitcoin, immediately got, kind of enveloped and I worked on a few different smart contract businesses doing financial products like derivatives and exchange that I worked on. And then, about 6 months ago, I struck out on my own to start this crypto trading business that I'm now working on.
Andrew, how are you involved with blockchain?
I spend most of my day trading, actually, building a program that trades and, just actively managing a portfolio. And a lot of that also comes down to reading about protocols, studying white papers, studying different coins, so that I have a better feel for, the assets that I'm trading. And, like I said, I formerly, was involved working on different smart contract-based projects built on, the first one I worked on was built on Bitcoin blockchain, and then I worked on some Ethereum projects for a while. But my smart contract programming is pretty occasional these days.
Andrew, what are the biggest challenges and successes with blockchain?
Let's start with the successes first, start on a positive note. One of the biggest things in my mind is that Bitcoin especially has brought to light a whole conversation about money and about kind of how society uses money and, what is sound money and how should money be issued. And it's gotten more people talking about central banks because, a lot of people take this sort of very fundamental thing. Money is very fundamental to our economy, and it's easy to kind of just take it for granted and kind of assume that the status quo works. But, there's a lot of, for the last 100 years, the central banks have been moving, further and further away from gold, which is historically money. And they've been moving, to paper money that represents gold, and then eventually to just paper money that, doesn't really represent anything. And so, along with bringing that conversation to light, blockchain has also given people that have an interest in sound money and, people that are looking for a way to protect themselves against, problems with fiat money. It's given them a way to kind of safeguard their assets or, safeguard wealth and kind of given people, an option to opt out of having to like trust these institutions with such a big job. I'd say the overall theme is sort of a decentralization, so moving away from central institutions. And also one of the big positives is democratizing access to fundraising. We've seen very recently in the last year, multiple ICOs every day. Which, it's a good and a bad thing because on the one hand, if somebody has a good idea, it's awesome. They can run an ICO and they can get funded very easily. But, one of the biggest challenges that comes along with that is, separating out the good ICOs and helping people, that may not know better to prevent, helping them to not invest in, potentially scam ICOs because one of the things with blockchain is it's very permissionless. Like you don't need to ask anyone for permission to run an ICO, but that also means that bad actors will try and come out and, we've seen them come out and kind of try and take advantage of people. So, along those lines, one of the other big challenges is also education. there's so much to learn about how to, you know, properly hold and store crypto, how to avoid websites that are scams that might just try and steal your coins, how to avoid losing your crypto if you lose your private keys, how to, you know, protect yourself against hacking. And in addition, there's also this new form of programming. Just like we had object-oriented programming, you know, become very big a few decades ago, we're starting to see a lot of talk now about contract-oriented programming. It's a totally sort of different paradigm. And so we've got, you know, all these ICOs in the last year have raised a bunch of money, and now they need to, you know, build teams so that they can deliver on their promises about these new products. But there's not enough, you know, engineers and managers that can, you know, come together to build all these different projects. So, you know, education is going to be huge in the next couple of years. And that's actually why I'm really excited about this project called, it's called Academy, School of Blockchain. And they're led by some really great people, and they're going to really move the ball forward on getting people educated on this new form of programming and, you know, holding your keys and everything like that.
Andrew, in your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
There's so many things. It's hard to say. I think, you know, the financial sector is a big one. You've got not only, you know, now we've got a sort of crypto Wall Street built where, you know, there's this whole marketplace of different assets and stuff that's kind of being built in parallel, you know, alongside Wall Street, and is, you know, very small and nascent in comparison. But, you know, it's very interesting to see that being built. And then, you know, along those lines, we're also going to have decentralized exchanges built where, you know, you don't even need to have a central exchange to custody the assets. People will just be able to peer-to-peer change and exchange on-chain. Another thing in the financial sector that is actually a great fit for blockchain smart contracts, things like options, and futures, because really an option is basically just a smart contract that says, if you want to send this contract some ether, we'll give you this token. So I see those as a very good fit. The only thing with, you know, moving financial products straight on chain is that, you know, smart contracts require a very high degree of certainty that they're correct. We saw with the DAO hack, and there was a recent, you know, Parity issue with the Parity wallet, that, you know, having financial products move on chain, I think, is going to be, you know, a few years out. I think it's going to be huge when it happens, but, you know, not so immediate. In the more short term horizon, I'm looking at things like authenticity being moved to the blockchain, and kind of you could use authenticity for like artwork, where if you know, purchase art from a dealer or from an artist, they can basically sign a token that exists on chain that represents that artwork, but in the digital realm. And then you can use the ownership of that token to prove that the work that you have is authentic. And so, you know, that's not just for artworks. You could also see it in like designer goods. You could see it in supply chain management. If people want to like make sure that they're getting, you know, organically sourced food or, you know, ethically raised meat, things like that. And then kind of along the same lines, we'll see like deeds to your house, or, you know, a title to your car. That stuff can be attached to the blockchain as well, almost effortlessly. And I think we'll see, you know, for a long time, we'll see like a parallel system, at least in places that have very established authorities. And then, you know, at some point, you know, we might deprecate the old institutions. And even more interestingly, actually, is in a lot of undeveloped nations, they don't have great things. Like they don't have like central authorities that handle deeds very well, especially if you look at like some of the like favela communities or some like relatively rural farming communities. And so, you know, they might just leapfrog and go straight to sort of, you know, blockchain-based deeds and have the community all accept that and promote that.
Andrew, how will people make money with blockchain?
There's a lot of different ways to make money with blockchain. The obvious one and the one that has, you know, made a lot of people money already is just speculation. Speculation that, you know, certain assets are undervalued right now or, you know, will be valued, you know, greater in the future. Now, you know, almost more important than that, though, I think there's going to be a lot of people that make new careers out of this, you know, blockchain movement. And I'm actually a pretty good example of that because, like, around mid-2015, I switched jobs so that I could basically like immerse myself in the technology, work with people that were already knowledgeable about it so I could learn from them. And, you know, that has rewarded me tremendously. And I think like being able to, you know, speak this language and talk to people and understand what's going on, there's going to be so much demand for people that are educated in the space, that the sooner people that can make careers out of this, it will really, you know, pay off long-term dividends, much more so than speculation.
Andrew, what advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
I would say, you know, get started, start small, start to learn, maybe just purchase like a small amount of your favorite crypto and, you know, play around with it. Learn how to hold it, learn how to interact with different contracts that might exist on that system, and start to, you know, you'll start to kind of just learn by doing. And then, you know, you want to learn about the different ways people have lost their crypto or scams people might have fallen for. You know, there's a new one going around on Twitter that says, if you send me, you know, one ether, I'll send you 100 ether or something like that. You know, you always got to keep your guard up. And the best thing that you can do is learn about other ways that people have been burnt so that you can try and avoid those mistakes. Now, if you're really trying to get deep into it, try and find an open source project that, you know, that interests you. It's something that you're passionate about. Maybe, you know, you already have experience in a specific sector and there's, you know, a project related to that sector. It might seem daunting to just, oh, how do you just, you know, contribute to an open source project? But it's actually a lot easier than people think. A lot of these projects need help writing documentation. They need help translating existing documentation. And I mean, you know, if you have past programming experience, you can probably find a way to help in the code pretty easily as well.
Well, thanks, Andrew.
No problem.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.